I had all this introduction stuff to say, and but in the course of the interview, Tom basically stole all the introduction stuff. So I thought, what am I going to say? So I thought, and then I was just saying, well, actually, I thought God say that. So that's probably better. It's so great to be here. It's so great to sing and to hear you guys sing and to encourage each other in that way. It's a real privilege to be here. And it was great to meet up the stairs with just a few of the folk from your church who are involved in climate and environmental issues. That was a real privilege, just hearing people's passion, how they're engaged. It's also great to see sort of friends and people that I've connected with over the years here. It's a real blessing to be with you. I want to speak to you about the climate this evening, I want us to have a quick look at Psalm 19. If you're following that on your phone or in the Bible, in the printed scriptures, Psalm 19. Just going to look at the first six verses, if that's okay. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Okay, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. So I'm starting with a question. Here's my question. Have you ever heard creation speak? Have you ever heard creation speak? Now, if you're kind of quite switched on, you could say, Mark, I'm hearing it now because I am part of creation. And you are part of creation. We are co-creatures with everything else that exists. We're not like separate from creation. We are part of creation as creatures. So I guess like you're hearing creation speak now. But I don't mean that. I mean the non-human creation. Have you ever heard the non-human creation speak? I don't mean like speak, although you may have. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? I just mean, have you ever felt a sense of God's voice? What this psalm is driving at. The heavens declare the glory of God. They don't speak, but they do speak. I was thinking about how this has happened in lockdown, hasn't it? Have people noticed? People have been aware of creation. You might call it nature. I'm going to call it creation because it was created. And people become more aware of that all the way through. People are aware of our surroundings. And there's a voice in that. I was reflecting in preparing for this, when I was praying and preparing, I was reminded when I was basically like 18, 19, I'd been away to university in Nottingham. And I had a kind of rocky first year. It all felt a bit kind of, it was, some of it was great, some of it was miserable. And I felt a bit lost, to be honest, at times. I felt a bit lost, didn't know quite what to do with myself. And I came home, and I just learned to drive, and my parents had moved to Chester. And I got to drive out through the Cheshire countryside, these beautiful fields, lined with trees. And just as I was driving out there, I parked up by the side of the road, and the sun was just sinking down in the sky. And I just stopped. Do you ever do that with the sunset? You just look out at the sunset and just think of the sunset that you found most powerful, most beautiful. And it was that burning gold color. It was just so warm. It was so golden. And it just set the sky off. And you know, every sky is different. And that's amazing. And I was thinking, this does not feel random. This does not feel like an accident. I can't think of this as purely accidental. I could feel a reality streaming out towards me with grace and beauty and love. I thought, I was already a Christian. I thought, this is the voice of God. This is the gift of God. And I felt the heaven speaking to me. And I thought, do you know what? It has been a messy year. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to make sense of this. But God, I will trust you. God, I will follow you. And as I was praying for this evening, I was thinking, you know, if you take nothing out of this talk, then I pray that God will help all of us to just listen to his voice. To listen to his voice. He's calling out to you. He's reaching out to you in love and in beauty and in goodness through the world that God has made. And I pray if you've never known that, that you would know it this week. But for me, that was one of the great times when I felt God reaching out to me. I felt that I heard creation speak. And sometimes I think creation does do that. It speaks to us of the glory of God. But sometimes creation speaks to us not of the beauty of God, if you like, but of the brokenness of humanity. And creation speaks that as well. It's there in the scriptures, you find it, at various places. A sense of the world having fallen, having turned away from God. Sometimes the prophets who speak out in the Old Testament, they say, look, it's not just me speaking, it's the whole of creation. It speaks not just of the beauty of God, but of our brokenness. So I know this guy called Tim Gordon, and he's a marine biologist. I don't know if we have any marine biologists here in the congregation this evening, gathering with us. It's great, like, he was doing some research. So to do some research, he went to the Great Barrier Reef. That's not bad, is it? Like, you know, I finished my PhD. It took me 11 years to do a PhD. How bad is that? But anyway, I got it finished. And if I want to do some research, I go to the library. Anyway, like, if he does some research, he goes to the Great Barrier Reef. And he swims down the Great Barrier Reef, and he sets up these sound pods. And what you and I probably will think, like, it's just fish, it's just like bubbles, it's beautiful. But he is interested in the sounds. And he explores this whole sonic landscape. And he hears marine creatures communicating with each other and navigating using their sounds. And he records it all and he analyzes it all. He's like, this is incredible. That's 2012. And then, I think we have a picture for this, he goes back in 2016. So 4 years later, now there have been two cyclones in this time. We don't know if they were like directly caused by global heating, but what we do know is that cyclones and other extreme weather events are more likely and more frequent and more powerful as a result. And so two of these cyclones had hit, and there'd been a bleaching effect. And again, I'm not like totally up on all the complex science of coral reef bleaching, but there are concerns about acidification of the oceans, about warming, and about this bleaching effect on the Great Barrier Reef. And he swam down there again with his sound equipment, and he set it all up. And there was silence. And it just broke his heart. And as I was preparing for this, I was reading this again. Like, sometimes you read the scriptures in a new way. Their voice, there is no speech. There is no language. Their voice is not heard. And yet, their words go out to all creation. And that's what's going on. In that silence, where there is no speech, actually there is a message. And creation speaks. And we're having to learn to listen, aren't we? I mean, what was it, 3 weeks ago, fires in the US? 2 weeks ago, flooding in Germany? This last week, unprecedented, like, you know, like extreme temperatures in the UK. we're having to learn to listen. We're learning some new words. We're learning about climate grief. We're learning about ecological breakdown. We're learning about the Anthropocene, the era of geological history where humans have actually shaped the very composition of the rocks and stones. And we're having to learn to listen to creation. I think for very understandable reasons, sometimes Christians have heard this and thought, well, look, that sounds very noble, that sounds very important, but what about the gospel? How does this relate to the good news of Jesus? Isn't that our job? We're to be gospel people. We're to tell people about Jesus. But what has become increasingly clear to me is that this is a gospel issue. This is a gospel issue. This is all about the gospel. I just want to unpack that with you just for a few moments, because God is interested in individuals. He's interested in you. He's interested in me. But God isn't just interested in individuals. He's the God of the whole world. So I wonder if we could show the 4 points. This is a really simple way of explaining the gospel. It's quite common. It's really important that God loves you. That's the heart. And yet each of us have made mistakes. That's the X sign. And we need God's forgiveness. And that God sent Jesus down the cross so that each one of us could make a choice. That's the question mark. What are we going to do? Are we going to let God into our lives and enter into God's life? And that's all great and that's all important. But the more I've thought about it, the more I realized that we tell the story as if God is only interested in individuals. But God is interested in the whole world. And mercifully, actually, this same story can be told. It's the same gospel, but we need to project it on a bigger screen, which is the whole of creation. God loves the whole of creation. God loves the whole of creation. Every creature, every species, every habitat on which every species depends. I had the privilege of going to Uganda and reading the scriptures with people there, and they talked about, when they read Genesis 1, they said, isn't this incredible? God creates the habitats for all the creatures. I thought, I'd never read Genesis 1 like that. God loves every species, every creature, every habitat for every creature. It says in the scriptures, he has compassion on all that he has made. So God loves the world, but our sin, our brokenness damages the world. And we see our human sin and brokenness affecting the world. Every time we take more than we should take, every time we burn more than we should burn, every time we allow released into the atmosphere the kinds of greenhouse gases which our own climate can't cope with, it's a sign of the brokenness of creation, and it stops the heavens declaring the glory of God. But Jesus came and lived. Do you know, Jesus, he didn't just live like as a soul. He lived in a body. He lived in a human body. And he broke and blessed bread. And he blessed creation. And he made it abundant. And he saved people from storms. And it says in Colossians that he died to reconcile all things. Things in earth or in heaven. So Jesus died for the whole creation, somehow to bring healing and restoration, so that now we do have a choice. How are we going to live? And I just wonder if we go out into the world, and if you take the message of Jesus Christ to a friend, maybe especially someone who's maybe under 25, cares about the planet, and you say, I believe in a God who made the world and loves the world and calls us to lead a life of love. And they say to you, that sounds fantastic. Tell me what you think about climate change. And you say, nah, it doesn't really bother me. I'm just not sure it's going to cut it. But instead, I think sometimes people in the world, we were talking about it before, a bit like the Good Samaritan, they are leading the way. There are people out there on the road to Jericho showing practical care. And Jesus says, have a look. Don't be defensive. And then go and do likewise. So So I think these are gospel issues. These are gospel issues. Apparently, 9 out of 10 Christian young people believe the environment is a massive priority, but only 1 in 10 think their church is doing enough about it. But we're seeing that change. We're seeing it change. And I just want to kind of say a little bit about my story and maybe just give a couple of kind of practical challenges. How could we do this? We are not the first people of faith to face emergencies. Actually, the scriptures are full of situations where people of faith find themselves in an emergency situation. The interesting thing is, they always do something about it. So, you know, Noah finds himself in an emergency situation. A situation, a particular kind of climate breakdown where the species of creation under threat and the fact that it's the scriptures say Noah was a righteous man, a righteous person. He did right. How do we know he did right? Because he did something. Because he took action. The Apostle Paul was a church planter. He went around planting these new Christian communities. But when there was a famine, another kind of ecological crisis in a particular area, well, it was across the known world, actually. It tells us in the book of Acts. When there was a famine, he showed that he was an apostle of love because he did something about it. We are not the first people to face emergencies. But the situation we're in is also a little bit unique as well, and carries its own specific challenges for the church. And I guess for the last 2 or 3 years, Tom's known me for a while, he knows I've been thinking about things like this in one way or other for a good while. But the last 2 or 3 years, I think I've come to realize this in a new kind of way. And in particular, I went to chat with a friend of mine. We were at this kind of Christian conference thing. And he just said to me, "Mark, I'm looking around this conference. I'm looking at what people are talking about, what we're singing about, what we're praying about. It's as if climate change isn't happening at all. Where's the leadership?" He said, "Where is the leadership? The church should be leading on this issue." And so I've been trying to just wrestle with that and think it through. And I want to offer just a couple of thoughts to you about how we might do that, I'm sure. And I know, because there's some people here who I was with just before the service, I know people are doing it already. So hopefully this encourages you. And there's people in this church with wonderful stories of what you're already doing. But the first thing is to listen. It's about listening. About listening to the scientists, listening to our global neighbors, and having conversations where we're non-defensively just listening. Tell me, how do you find it? The number one best thing we can do about the climate is to have conversations where we're openly just listening to each other. So there's a place for listening. But there's also a time to speak out and speak the truth. And this friend of mine, Howard, we met together and we thought we could do. And we began to work with organizations like Tear Fund and others around the country. And we gathered a coalition who agreed how churches can declare or recognize the climate emergency. And they can just say, "We recognize this. We see it. And we're going to start doing things about it." And we actually developed something called a climate emergency toolkit, and it's there online. It's already been downloaded over 2,000 times, which is awesome. That we had that conversation, and then it's turned into this thing. And we're hoping that as many churches and Christian organizations as possible declare something and say, "We recognize this. We see it. We're going to speak the truth." Because that's our job. And I got an email last week from somebody who said, "We're putting this to our church council, but we were just wondering," it's a very intelligent, fair question, "what authority do we have to do this?" Like, we're a local church, you know, like, we don't kind of like announce the arrival of a new species, or kind of, we don't kind of name comets or that kind of thing. So, like, what gives us the authority to do this? I thought, oh, great, this sounds like the Gospels. By what authority do you do these things? I got to write back to them. I said, "Well, that's fine. If you just want to recognize the emergency, that's fine. That's what at St. Hill College, we've recognized the climate emergency." But it got me thinking. I thought, by what authority do we do this? So do you know that Jesus has given you the keys to the kingdom? And that Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, do you know that you will judge the world? You will judge angels? I mean, it's big stuff. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 will blow your mind. And do you know that you are an ambassador of the Creator God? Do you know that? You're an ambassador of the Creator God? So, do you know what? Maybe we do have the authority to do this. Like, if the ambassadors of the Creator God can't do this, who can? Isn't that precisely what it means to speak? Isn't that, I was reflecting on this. The heavens declare the glory of God, but they can't speak. But you can. Our job is to declare the glory of God as the ambassadors of the Creator God, who loves the world that he made and saves that world through Jesus Christ and gives us hope. That's our job. That's our calling. That's why we're here, for such a time as this, that we would be the voice of creation that has no voice. So I got quite excited about that thing. You know, that's what happens when you get an email. It gets you thinking, doesn't it? So the last thing I want to say is when we've got into this business, we hit immediately the issue of church buildings. I mean, you know, if you want to create a carbon efficient structure, you could do better than the Victorian church design. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm no thermal engineer, but like, you know, it's just not designed for maximal heat efficiency. And I think it can make Christians feel a bit kind of on the back foot, like, oh, goodness, you know, this is going to be a tough one. But I just want to say to you, I do care about buildings and emissions. I care about this building because we teach in this building every Monday. And so we talk with Becky and the team about, you know, emissions and how we cater for people and so on. It matters. But that is not the thing I'm most excited about. The thing I'm most excited about in all of this is you and your house and your street and your school or college or workplace. That is what I am most excited about, because that is the place where God has put you as a kingdom influencer. God has put you exactly where he wants you to be, so that you can be a light for Christ, so that you can be an influencer for the kingdom, so that you can be an ambassador for the Creator God. And that's why you're there, if you're wondering. That is it. And everything else connects with that and relates to that. So that's what I'm excited about. This guy, I got to speak in my home church about this, and this guy was very nice. He said, you know, I see you've cycled to church, and that's really inspired me. And I said, well, to be honest, I kind of had to cycle to church. Like you know, I didn't cycle here, just in case you're wondering. But like, if you're living in Leeds and you're preaching in Leeds on the environment, you kind of have to, like, wear something green, cycle to church. These are the basic things. But I said, I'm glad. He said, well, I'm inspired. I might cycle to church as well. I said, that's really good. That's really good. It's probably healthy for you. It's very good. You clear your mind. I like it. It's all good. But to be honest, tell me where you work. It's a school, isn't it? He said, yeah, it's a school. I said, how many kids in that school? I bet there's hundreds. Yeah, hundreds, maybe 1,000 or so. So, well, let's talk about that then. Have you talked to your science department about what they think about global warming? Are they concerned? How do they read it? He says, no, I haven't been able to do that. I said, why don't you do that? Have you talked to your head teacher? Has your school declared a climate emergency? He said, I don't know. I said, why don't you do that? So I'm more concerned about where God has put you as a kingdom influencer, because that's where each of us has so much of a role to play. And yes, the church needs to kind of work through the process and think about, like I say, buildings and emissions and so on. But think of the influence of this church, the wonderful places God has put each person, the challenging places God has put each person. And you can do it with a particular kind of grace that nobody else has, a kingdom grace that says, do you know what? It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you know about thermal engineering or don't know about thermal engineering. It doesn't matter. This is not a competition. I'm not trying to exclude you from the process. there's a grace that you can bring to the conversations about the climate because you follow Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And there's a love you can bring, a love for people that you don't even know, haven't even met. And that love comes from the gospel of Jesus. And isn't that amazing? And there's a hope. Goodness, if the world needs one thing right now, it is hope. And there's a hope that you bring because you follow Jesus Christ. And it's a hope like nobody else has, that God made this world and he is going to save this world. And isn't that amazing? And so my hope and my prayer for each person in this church is that you get that privilege of going and showing how relevant the gospel of Jesus is, that it relates to our climate, and how attractive it is, that it can answer the questions that people have, and how powerful it is, and it can change human behavior and help us all to transform the way that we live. And how graceful it is, and how hopeful it is. So I pray that God will give us the hope and the courage to go and do that. And blessings to you as a church as you talk and think through these questions. I'm really excited to see how God's going to lead you.